Hello, I'm Leon, and I'm 13 years old. My story is about how I got bullied at school. I never thought it could happen to me, and I want to share with you what I had to go through and how I got it to stop. It all started when my older sister Laura moved to another high school, as she had this amazing dance talent that they specialized in. I missed her terribly on my daily walk to school, as now she had to travel far away and had to leave the house really early. However, it was okay as we both walked to school with my best friend Max. We'd all have such a laugh together. That was until Max and his parents moved away, as his mom got a new job. I was mortified as it all came so out of the blue when he told me, and he was mortified too. Now I'd have to walk to school and back on my own when we went back after the summer vacation. During my summer vacation, I especially missed Max, as we'd always be at each other's houses. Laura was always busy seeing her friends or going to dance rehearsal. I felt so alone, and I was dreading the walk to school when we went back. I did have another friend at school called Julian, but he had to get the bus to school, and most of the time after school, he went to football practice as he loved sports. And soon, the time arrived when we went back to school. My walk alone was long and boring. But just a few days in, something happened, and everything changed. One day, I met Simon on my way home after school. Simon went to my school and was a couple of years older than me. He had a reputation for being a bully, as he was bad-tempered and didn't care what anyone thought of him. He also knew he intimidated others as he was taller. So I was walking home, minding my own business, when I saw Simon ahead, listening to music. Well, I decided to rush past him and avoid him. But when I tried to go around him, he suddenly moved, and I bumped into him. He was furious. "What's the matter with you?" he said. "Can't you watch where you're going?" I tried to say something back, but I got my words jumbled with the shock of his outburst, and he just laughed at me and called me weak. To make matters even worse, I suddenly realized that Leia, Mary, and Paul were also nearby and joined in with Simon as he laughed at me. I could feel my cheeks burning bright red, which Simon also cruelly pointed out. I didn't know what to do, so I ran home and heard them all laughing and talking about me as I did. When I got home, I felt so sad and down. How could they be so mean? However, when my mom asked me how school was, I didn't want to tell her what happened, so I told her everything was fine. I assumed seeing Simon on my way home was a one-off, so I wouldn't have to hopefully deal with it again. The next morning, I told Julian about it, and he dropped the bombshell that he knew Simon had moved nearer to me now. That was his new walk to school. He suggested that I join him at soccer practice, as Simon was also on the team, and he might see me differently. We might even become friends like he is with him. But the problem was, I hated soccer, and I wasn't very good at it. I even thought Julian would have known this, so I mentioned it to him again. He said he knew that, but suggested I went to his place on Saturday to have soccer practice with the team anyway. Try to get something in common with them. After soccer practice, they always watched an action movie or played video games together. Simon was okay if you got to know him. But I stood my ground and said, "I'm not interested in computer games or action movies either. I like butterflies and nature documentaries." "That's kid stuff," Julian said. "And you wonder why the other boys can't do anything with you," Julian replied in frustration. Simon continued to annoy me daily, and his taunts were getting ruder and ruder, and Leah, Mary, and Paul continued to giggle nervously as they watched on. One day, on the way home from school, Simon cruelly grabbed my cap and started to throw it back and forth with Paul. He was making fun of me, and Paul was nervously joining in with him again. Then Leah and Mary turned up and joined in too. Suddenly, out of spite, Simon threw the cap into the river, and it quickly drifted away. I was furious, and I shoved Simon hard. Everyone was silent for a moment, and just stared at us. Then, Simon punched me. I fell to the ground, and I saw Simon's angry face above me. He threatened to finish me off for good if I snitched on him and told anyone at home or at school. At home, my mom was concerned, as I had scratches on my arms and chin. But I told her I had fallen down an embankment trying to retrieve my cap, which had fallen accidentally into the river. When I was alone in my room, I felt so down and upset. I couldn't concentrate on my homework or my favorite nature documentary. My change was soon noticed at home. My mom and Laura thought that my separation from Max was hitting me hard. Laura asked, "Are you okay, little brother? You're so closed off." And she invited Max to come over for the weekend. When Max came to see me the following Saturday, I showed him my new poster with exotic butterflies and wanted to know everything about his new apartment and his new school. It was the first time in a long time that I felt so relaxed and more like myself again. We talked all night until we heard a tap at the window. When we looked up, A creepy clown face was staring back at us. I screamed, and Max rushed to the window. Laura suddenly charged into my room, too, wondering what all the noise was about. Max had already opened the window and was screaming after the fleeing clown. It was Simon. I knew it. I burst into tears, and I told Max and Laura everything that had been going on and how cruel Simon and his friends had been to me. Laura and Max had great sympathy and were both angry with Simon. The next morning, Max had called Leah, Mary, and Paul and asked them all to meet him in the park in the afternoon. They didn't expect to see me and Laura too when they met. Max and Laura told them how bad the situation was for me and how it started to make me distracted and depressed. At first, they protested a bit, but then they showed that they felt guilty and ashamed that they joined in with Simon. Paul even confessed that he had been too cowardly to stand up to Simon and knew none of it was right. Laura reminded them that Simon could have chosen to pick on any one of them instead, so they all needed to stick together. We all left feeling better. And Laura asked Mom to drop me off for a change, telling her I'd hurt my foot. But I knew Mom couldn't pick me up as she was working. I panicked. But Laura assured me that she intended to deal with Simon after school, so I assumed that she'd walk me home. Leah, Mary, and Paul were now talking to me again and standing with me during the break, which Simon seemed confused by, but didn't seem to care too much. He even made a quip about me paying for protection, which he thought was just as sad as me. After school, I looked around for Laura, but I couldn't see her anywhere. How could she not show up to walk me back? I thought that maybe Simon might have already left, so I decided to run home as quickly as possible and go a different way. However, I hadn't got far when I saw Simon. He immediately started insulting me, asking me where my butterfly net was. He was angry and walked up to me menacingly. I thought he might hit me. He pushed me lightly, then told me I was the biggest loser he'd ever met. I was mortified and felt helpless. I couldn't put up with this every day. I was broken. I tried to rush off to the river and get away from him, but he followed me, taunting and pushing me cruelly. However, when we got to the pedestrian bridge, Leah, Mary, and Paul were also there. They saw that Simon was bullying me, and although they didn't join in, they didn't say anything to make him stop either. How could this be my life? Then suddenly, the most amazing thing happened. Laura appeared and stood right in front of Simon, but didn't say anything. She just stared him out sternly. You could see Simon squirming, and he kept looking embarrassed towards Leah, Mary, and Paul. Laura demanded that he leave me alone from now on, and that if she heard differently, she'd deal with it. Plus, he owed me a new cap. She also told him how cruel he was for picking on someone younger and shyer than him. It didn't make him tough. It made him a coward, as he knows that I wouldn't fight back. Simon's cheeks flushed red, and he ran off. Leah and Mary looked shocked, and Paul tried to hide his giggles. And I never got bothered by Simon again. I also apologized to Julian for dismissing his help. He was cool about it and understood. I should be me and do whatever I want, but it might also be worth compromising too, even if it means doing something I wouldn't normally do. I even went to a soccer practice, and it was quite fun. Simon ended up going home sick. I think he faked it. He was avoiding me now, rather than the other way around. He was just a coward. Thankfully, I only had a short experience with bullying, but I was determined to help others in the same situation. I spoke with our class teacher, Mrs. Sanders, who ran an anti-bullying project at school and offered to volunteer. This included handing out flyers and talking to others about their experiences. It made me so much more confident, and I really felt I was making a difference. I even caught Simon one time looking at the flyers, so I hope he might become aware of the consequences of his actions. So please do let me know if anything like this happened to you. And if you are experiencing bullying, then do tell your friends and family, as they will be able to help and give you advice and support. Or if you feel like you can't talk to them, do let your teachers know, and I promise, things can only get better. Please do share your stories, and remember, bullies are cowards. Leave some comments, and I look forward to reading them. Bye for now, and be kind.
Bonjour, je m'appelle Dan, and I mean, it. Never mind. I'm Dan, and I'm 14 years old, and my story, well, it won't make me look good, but I do regret what I did, and I know how much I let everybody down, because I faked an injury to get out of a school test, and boy, did it spiral out of control. You'll never believe it. So, here's what happened. Firstly, a quick rundown of my family. There is Mum. Then, there's my older sister, Anne. Then, there is my other older sister, Sal. Anne and Sal fight like cats and dogs. Anne always accuses Sal of stealing her clothes and makeup. And in my story, there's also my best friend, Rob. So, back to my story. One day, I had this pain in my side. Appendicitis. It was like my family were different people. But the best thing, I got out of French. I hated French. I really tried to learn it, but I always got my la's mixed up with my le's, and don't even get me started on my lay's. I dreaded any test, as I always did so badly. I was in hospital for my appendix for 2 days, and at home for 5. And I missed a French verb test. Even better was that the French teacher, Mr. Saflo, said I shouldn't worry about the missed verb test, that he'd grade me based on what I'd done on my coursework. Result! French coursework was easy as I looked everything up. My appendix was the best thing that ever happened to me. That was, of course, until I got better. And to make things worse, Mr. Saflo announced a huge verbal French test soon. My worst kind of test, where you have to speak French in front of the whole class. I tried to cram in as much as possible, but I couldn't remember my ils from my els. I told Rob I'd do anything to get out of the test. Then I said, maybe I should fake an injury. Rob thought I was kidding, of course. And then I thought, maybe I should fake an injury. And I thought about it. And I thought about it. How would I do it? Well, I'll tell you. Firstly, it couldn't be too serious that I'd have to go to the doctor or hospital. If I could just miss school for like 3 days, then I'd miss the test. Easy. I told them I tripped over the bed. My plan worked. The next day, Mum said I should rest my ankle and stay off school. Result, or rather, resultat. Mum said I could revise for the French verbal test. But I knew I wouldn't need to. Rob phoned to see if I was okay. He laughed and said that at first, he thought that I'd faked it like I joked about, but that I would never do that. Would I? The next morning was a close call. Mum said my ankle looked okay as it wasn't swollen or bruised. I should try school. But I insisted it really hurt. And thankfully, she let me stay home again. But I had to make it look convincing, as the French verbal test was the very next day. And she believed it, and so did Rob. Anne and Sal had been getting on lately. But then, Anne accused Sal of stealing her makeup, which Sal denied. But I couldn't tell them it was me. I'd done it. I'd missed the stupid test. But I found out that Mr. Saflo had been ill, so they had postponed the test. to today. I hadn't even bothered revising as I'd thought I'd missed it. There was only one thing to do. I had to fake being sick to get out of it. Mr. Safelow wanted to call an ambulance, but I insisted it was something I ate. Did I feel bad? Yes. Would I do it again? No! And I got away with it. Then, unexpectedly, I got a visit from Rob. He asked me if I was really ill. Was I faking it like I joked about? I denied it, of course. He then said he'd seen me walking okay. I said that he was seeing things, that this wasn't making me feel better. How could he think such a thing? He was just jealous. And of course he was right, but I couldn't tell the truth now, could I? Maybe I should just study. I mean, I can't get out of every test forever, can I? Then the most horrible, terrible, traumatizing thing happened. Mr. Safelow wanted me to do my verbal test right there and then. There was only one thing for it. Yep, I pretended to faint. I mean, what would you have done? And this time, the school called an ambulance. The doctor told me that there was nothing wrong on my x-ray or in my blood. Had the pain improved? I knew I had to tell them the truth, but I couldn't. I wondered if this might be a criminal offence, and I'd be sent to jail. And Rob turned up. He told me that I was taking things too far now, that I needed to tell the truth, that he didn't believe I was ill. Not telling the truth would make things worse. That my mum didn't deserve all this. And I said, I don't know what you're talking about. Then Rob said, if you don't tell them, I will. I felt terrible about what I'd done. But I just couldn't tell the truth. What was wrong with me? They told me that it was best to keep me in hospital, do more tests. So I decided to tell them the next morning that I was feeling much better, that perhaps it was rest that I needed. Mum said I had a visitor. Was it Rob again, coming to make me feel bad? Was Mr. Safelow here to make me do my French verbal test? Mum told me that the doctors wanted to operate. Open me up to see what's wrong. There's nothing wrong with me! I said, I was sorry, but it didn't seem enough. The doctor said how me lying stopped other people from getting an x-ray or seeing the doctor. Someone that really needed it. What had I done? She said that she couldn't help me unless I told her what was really going on. So I told her the truth. That I did it to get out of that stupid French test as I found it all too hard. I said I was so very, very sorry still. That every time I thought about what I did, I cringed. That I realised what I did was wrong. Mum was surprisingly understanding, and the next day, she came into school with me. She explained to Mr. Safelow that I was struggling and he agreed to give me extra lessons. But then he said I could do the verbal test next month. And he arranged for me to talk with the school counsellor about my study worries and the pressure I felt. And Mr. Safelow stuck to his word and helped me with French and I passed. I wasn't perfect, no, but I did it. And guess what? It wasn't so bad. Ne te pasi mal. And the funny thing is, I realised I knew more than I thought I did. I was just putting it off all the time, not facing it. And of course, I realised how selfish I was, faking my injuries and pretending to be sick when I wasn't. What a waste of everyone's time. And as for Rob, luckily, we're friends again. He never did tell anyone I faked it, as he didn't want to get me in trouble. He also said I should have told him I was struggling with French and he would have studied with me more. If only I'd realised it could have been that easy to get help. It pays to tell your friends, family or teacher if you feel like you're struggling with your schoolwork before it gets out of hand, like it did with me. So tell me, have you lied to get out of a test or doing your schoolwork? Do share your stories. Well, thanks for listening, and au revoir, mon ami.
Hi, I'm Rosie. I'm 14. Thanks so much for joining me and listening to my story of how cutting corners on my chores became something much more serious. You have to listen to what I did so you don't make the same mistake. This is my house. There's plenty of windows, right? Well, there's plenty of people. First, let me introduce you to my family. First, there's Mom and Dad. My sister Shelley is 19. I hardly see her because she studies all the time. My brother Aaron is 2 years older than me, and he likes to be noisy. They don't always get along. Then there's me. Then there's my 10-year-old brother Charlie. Next is Olivia. She's 8. She loves to paint. Then there's Bobby. He's 5. And the baby of the family, at least until my parents have more, is Sienna. She just turns 3. That's right. My parents have 7 children so far. They just love kids. There are some bad things about coming from a large family. I've never been on a plane because the tickets would cost too much for all of us to travel. In the summer, we mostly just stay home. But there are enough of us to play some pretty cool games. We are experts at hide and seek. One of the bad things about living with this many people is the food. If you open a basket of biscuits in this family, it's gone immediately. And that a lot of people eating a lot of food means a lot of dishes. And we're super fussy eaters. Shelly pretty much lives on crisps. Aaron can't get enough chicken. Bobby has allergies. Mom is vegan. And Sienna loves cucumber. But only if it's cut into discs. In fact, if you want her to try anything new, you pretty much have to cut it into a circle. Charlie, Dad, and me eat pretty much everything. My dad said once that if he kept the dishes clean all the time, then he'd never have a chance to cook us any food. Thankfully, we have a dishwasher. Everyone in our house does chores, even Bobby. And it's my job to load and unload the dishwasher. It used to be Shelly's job, but she's got super important exams, so now the dishes are my responsibility. Everyone knows to put the dirty dishes on one side and get clean dishes from the other side. We don't put them away. We use them too fast for that. It's exhausting. There's just never a time when everything is clean. One day in the summer, we were having an epic game of hide and seek when Mom called out, "Rosie, dishwasher's finished." I went to the kitchen, annoyed that I was missing the game. I quickly got all the clean dishes out and piled them up on the side. Then I chucked all the dirty dishes in. There were more than usual because Aaron was teaching himself how to cook. His dish of the week was southern fried chicken. However, it was a miracle. I nearly got everything in. There was just one bowl left. I looked at it. It looked clean. I knew that Olivia had been painting earlier that day. I thought she used the bowl to wash her brushes. I was kind of annoyed. Even though it was my job to do the dishes, she was old enough to tidy up after her hobbies. I rinsed the bowl for 2 seconds in some cold water and moved it to the clean side of the kitchen. I had finally done the dishes. I raced back to join the game of hide and seek. Pretty soon, Dad called out, "Hands at the ready," which is his dad way of telling us to wash our hands before we eat. We had slices of tomato, bread rolls, meat, and cucumber, slices of banana, and some cheese. Sienna wouldn't try the cheese until Bobby cut it into the right shape with a cookie cutter. And some of us had the chicken that Aaron had made. It was delicious. Dad joked that he should be a chef when he grows up, but Aaron said, "There's no need. When I'm a famous rock guitarist, I'll employ a chef." Pretty soon after that, everyone got sick. Mom got sick. Aaron got sick. Olivia got sick. Bobby got sick. It was awful. Just when we thought everything had calmed down, Sienna got sick. They were sick for about 3 days. Then, thankfully, everyone began to get better. Everyone except Sienna. She just couldn't eat or drink anything, not even water, until Mom realized there was only one thing to be done. It was awful. Mom and Dad were so worried. I'd never seen them looking so frightened. Once she was in the hospital, Sienna got a lot better really fast because they put fluids inside her to help the dehydration. Then they did a bunch of tests. And then they discovered she had a kind of food poisoning called Campylobacter. You can get it a few different ways, but one of the most common is from chicken that hasn't been cooked properly. "But Sienna doesn't eat chicken," said Mom. "She only eats things that are round." The doctors asked us to think back to what we had eaten before everyone got sick. The whole family thought as hard as they could. Aaron looked super guilty. "Mom," he said, "do you think my fried chicken made Sienna sick?" Mom looked at Dad. "The chicken was cooked all the way through," said Dad. "We tested it really carefully." "And anyway," said Mom, "I got sick and I didn't eat the chicken." "Who ate the chicken?" I asked. We worked out that Dad, Charlie, me, and Aaron had all had chicken for lunch. The doctor asked, "What else did you have that day?" "Cucumber," said Mom. "We have cucumber with every meal." "But people can't get sick from cucumber," I said. "Can you believe it was the cucumber that made everyone sick?" But sure enough, we worked out that everyone who got sick had eaten the cucumber. I still didn't understand how my family had gotten so sick from cucumber when the doctor said, "This bacteria can also spread through the juices of raw chicken if you don't wash all the dishes properly." "What?" I said. "We have a dishwasher. I just load and unload." And then I remembered. The bowl. For a moment, I considered not telling my family what I had done, but I knew I would never live with myself if I didn't tell the truth. "The bowl with the purple stripe," I said. "I thought Olivia had just used it for painting, so I just quickly rinsed it." And Aaron looked horrified. "The bowl with the purple stripe? I put the chicken in it before I did the spices." "Oh, Rosie," said Mom, so sadly. Somehow, the fact that she was sad was worse than if she'd been angry. I started to cry. "Mom," I said, "I'm so sorry. I just wanted all the dishes to be clean." I didn't think I could feel any worse than at that moment. But I could, because just then, Sienna said, "Mommy, my legs feel all funny." The doctor said, "Everybody out," and we watched through the window. The doctor asked Sienna to move her legs, to try and get out of bed, but she couldn't. She couldn't move her legs at all. She was paralyzed. They had to do a bunch more tests. And then the paralysis spread to her arms. Sienna had a rare reaction to the Campylobacter bacteria. It can be very serious. Her own nervous system was attacking her. Mom and Dad were at the hospital all the time, and we went in for visiting hours every single day. Thankfully, Sienna was really lucky. The paralysis only lasted 2 weeks. But I can tell you, it was the longest 2 weeks of my life. When she came back home, she was pretty much back to normal. Except because hospital food comes in all shapes and sizes, she learned to eat things that aren't round. Now she likes things in all shapes and sizes. And me? I learned never to cut corners on my chores. So, that's how I poisoned my family and paralyzed my sister. We're super lucky that she didn't die. Have you ever cut corners on your chores? Let me know in the comments. I'm sure I can't be the only one. And here? Thankfully, things are pretty much back to normal. I'm coming to find you!
Hi, I'm Raj. I'm 14, and this is my new house. It's a lot, right? Like, this is not what normal houses look like. My story is all about how I found a secret passage in our new house. And I can't wait to tell you what I found in there. When I was younger, we lived in a tiny apartment in the city. There was enough room for me, Mom, and Dad, but then my sister came along. And then my brother. I was pretty excited when my mom told us that she had a new job at a university and we would be moving into a much bigger house, which was great. But when I realized that it meant I would also be moving schools, not so great. Still, I would be getting my own room and hopefully making new friends. So I tried to see it as an adventure. We packed all our stuff into a moving van and drove here. When she first saw the house, my sister was so scared she burst into tears. Mom said, "What's the problem? It's a huge house with a fantastic garden for you to play in." My sister said, "It's dark." My brother said, "It looks like it's gonna fall down and crush us." I was like, "Mom, it's gonna be hard enough being the new kid in school without being the kid who lives in the weird, spooky house." Dad tried to cheer everyone up and said, "Come on, everyone. It just needs some work to make it cozy." Just then, a ball came over from the house next door, and that's how I met Tim and Eddie. Tim is my next-door neighbor. He said, "Can we get our ball back?" I was like, "Sure. Hi, I'm Raj. I'm moving in." Eddie, his friend, said, "Yeah, pretty brave." And they both laughed, like they knew something I didn't. I wish I had some of my old friends with me to back me up. Tim said, "Eddie, don't say anything. He can find out for himself." But I already guessed there must be rumors about such a weird-looking house. So I was just like, "Spill it. What happened in my house?" Tim tried to scare me with a story about how a magician used to live there and do weird spells and things. He said the magician died in the house, but his body was never found. Eddie was like, "Tim, if his body was never found, how do they know he died?" Eddie insisted instead that he'd heard a group of nuns used to live in the house. But one day, they all turned into enormous black crows and flew away. Just then, Tim's mom came over. She scolded Tim and Eddie. "Boys, don't be telling the new neighbor any of your silly stories. The nuns moved to Canada, and that magician retired to the south of France. The house was just rented by students at the university." Tim and Eddie were like, "Yeah, basically no one's ever gonna want to come to your weird house." And I didn't want to be known as the boy with the weird house, so I said, "Yeah? Shame. You'll miss out on seeing all the cool stuff that's still in there. Unless you're just too scared to come in," I said. Tim said he wasn't scared of anything, so I said, "Okay, come in then, if you dare." The house smelled weird and creaked a lot, and not all the lights worked. So basically, it was as spooky on the inside as it had been on the outside. We looked through some of the old junk and found loads of playing cards and posters for a show by Maximo the Magnificent. So a magician had lived in my house, but not a magician who did weird spells, one who did magic shows. "Lame," said Tim. I was so annoyed, I wanted something that would make Tim and Eddie think me and my house were cool. Ghosts! Yes! Now that would impress Tim and Eddie. I told them it must be a ghost. But I realized it was just my brother and sister exploring the house. But then, there was a weird moaning sound from the next room, like, "Ooh." It happened again. "Ooh." And Tim freaked when I said I was going to open the door. Eddie shrieked, "Please don't open the door!" But I didn't really believe in ghosts, so... Eddie shrieked, "It's the nuns! They're going to turn us into crows!" The figure moaned again, "Oh!" But I just shrugged and said, "Dad, enough already! You're so cringe!" My dad took the cloak off and laughed at us. "Just came to tell you there's pie if you want some." Eddie and Tim were like, "This is lame. We're out of here." My first shot at impressing my new friends, and now they just thought my house was full of rubbish and my family were cringe. So Tim and Eddie went to leave. We found room after room of old junk and dust. Eddie was like, "Dude, how do we get out of your house?" But I didn't know. It was so dumb. I was lost in my own house. We found a dark room full of old books. Eddie was like, "Books! Really cool, man. Really cool." I was like, "Whatever." I leaned against the bookcase. Then, without warning, the bookcase swung open. Eddie and Tim were amazed. There was some kind of secret passage in my house. I wasn't so sure about going in, but I finally had something to impress my new friends with, so I wasn't going to turn it down. It was super dark. I took the lead, but Eddie and Tim weren't far behind. We went down so far that I guess we must be under the house. We came to a dark corridor. Tim said that smugglers used to live in this area hundreds of years ago, and maybe it was an old smuggling tunnel. Eddie said everyone knew that they dug huge tunnels here for the local power plant, and not all of them were used. They started arguing. But I was like, "Guys, guys! There's someone down here with us!" Tim and Eddie laughed. They thought it was my dad again, but then they got closer. There were three other people in the tunnel. I took one step forward, and the person in the corridor also took a step forward. I took a step back. They took a step back. I thought about what would make someone want to live in the dark down here. Maybe it wasn't a person. Maybe it was some kind of monster. I raised my torch to get a better look. And I saw my own face! There wasn't anyone in the secret passageway. It was a mirror. I was like, "Guys, guys, guys, it's okay." Tim went behind the mirror for a closer look. It was some kind of magician's trick, but Eddie and Tim were happy that I had finally been as terrified as they had been. Just then, we heard Tim's mom's voice and smelled her pie. "Guys," I said, "the tunnel must lead to the kitchen. You can be out of here in no time." And to my surprise, Eddie said, "Let's have some pie. I'm starving." And Tim said, "Yeah, then we can explore the rest of the house." We hurried along, hoping there would still be some pie. And then, I saw something in the tunnel. I was like, "Wait! Stop!" It was a human skeleton! Eddie and Tim called out, "Maximo the Magician!" And I just... "Aah!" And you didn't have to have Tim's mom's supersonic ears to hear that. Dad called out, "What's wrong? Are you hurt?" And I was like, "There's a dead body in our new house! We have to get out of here." "Wait," said Dad. "That doesn't look like bone." Tim was like, "The medical students and their Halloween tricks." "Oh yeah," said Eddie. "Last year they dug a pit outside the house so everyone fell in." "Yeah," said Tim. "And the year before that they made the doorbell into screaming sounds. That was so funny." "Medical students. Why didn't anyone tell me?" Then my dad was like, "Okay, that's enough standing around in the passageway. Time for pie." So even though my house is weird and spooky, it did help me to make new friends. Did you enjoy my story? Have you ever found a secret passage? What did you find? Do let me know in the comments. And if you need to move to a new house and go to a new school, just think, you probably won't have to deal with a skeleton in a secret passageway. In the end, my spooky house turned out to be a normal house just like any other.